All right, my friends. Well, once again, it's time for the Music Inspired Media Podcast. I'm your host, Shane Christopher Neal. Right now, you might be listening to this on my iTunes account, maybe SoundCloud, or it could be on MusicLifeMagazine.net. What an amazing site, MusicLifeMagazine.net. It has everything music. It's very global. Interviews, a podcast, reviews, photos. Joel Knappen, he's amazing. MusicLifeMagazine.net. Make sure you check it out. He's a major sponsor here of this podcast, and he has made me a millionaire. Okay, that's a lot. Real excited for today's interview. Lyric Doobie, who I met about 3 years ago. I did an interview with Lyric for Max Inc. Radio before it went defunct. And he's an award-winning multi-genre artist. Get this. He's proficient and at ease at playing rock, pop, blues, classical, and jazz, just to name a few. And in fact, he has now come up with his own genre. It's called Revolution Rock. Lyric Doobie and Revolution Rock. He's opened up or shared the stage with some legendary names: Buddy Guy, Colin James, Rick Ammett of Triumph, Honeymoon Suite, and Richie Sambora. That's right, that Richie Sambora from Bon Jovi. He's performed at music festivals all over the world: Malibu Guitar Festival, Indie Week, North, West by Northeast, Southwest by Southeast, South by East, North, and then South again. He's been all over the world. He's traveled to Japan. He's traveled to China. And one of my favorite quotes, record producer and Eurythmics frontman Dave Stewart. This is what he had to say. Lyric Doobie is a natural born star. He plays guitar like his life depends on it and sings his own songs with the sincerity needed to cut through a lot of today's manufactured music. Stick around. You don't want to miss this one. Coming up next, Lyric Doobie.
Welcome to the Shane Christopher Neal Podcast. Shane's a TV and radio personality, international event host, A&R label rep, co-founder of BS Live Rocks Entertainment Group, an all-around epic guy. This podcast is sponsored by Music Life Magazine. Check out all Shane's podcasts at musiclifemagazine.net. So much to talk about with so little time. Here's your host, Shane Christopher Neal.
All right, well, welcome once again to the Music Inspired Media Podcast. Shane Christopher Neal for MusicLifeMagazine.net. Make sure you check out that website, MusicLifeMagazine.net. Man, it's got everything music. It's got photos. It's got reviews. It's got me. I mean, what else could you ask for, right? Or you could ask for this gentleman, Lyric Doobie. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Good. So let's start at the beginning in the sense of, like, Doobie's a cool last name. Lyric, where does that come from?
So luckily, both my parents love music. It was my dad used to be a DJ, and it was always music playing in the house, and they wanted to give me a bit of a different name. I was really lucky. They happened to choose Lyric. Total coincidence that I ended up getting into music, but it suits well, and I'd like to think it somewhat inspired me.
So it's your actual name?
Actual name is Lyric Freedom Doobie.
That is awesome. Okay, so in looking at your bio, and this is great because you and I spoke a few years back, back in the Max Inc. radio days, and you were just a young kid, and you're still young, but you were a real young kid at the time, and I was amazed at how many instruments you played, the different genres of music, and as I look through your bio here, proficient in rock, pop, blues, classical, and jazz. That blows my mind. Where did all of this begin, and what genre, if any, did it begin in?
I was extremely fortunate when I was young to get a very good guitar teacher. He's a professional jazz musician and session player. I started out playing rock and blues like most guitar players do, listening to Jimi Hendrix and all the great blues icons. And so shortly after, I got to a point in my guitar playing where he says, look, everything else that you could learn for now that I can teach you, he says, you're going to figure it out on your own. If you really want to become a proficient musician, you should look into different genres. So that's when I started exploring jazz and classical and a lot of the other, it's more... lots of popular genres that'll bring my playing to the next level. So I went to the Royal Conservatory of Music, studied all classical guitar, all levels, advanced theory, advanced harmony. And then I started studying jazz. And at that time, I was preparing to go to Humber.
So do you have a favorite that you play? Or like, what do you kind of deviate to, I guess, in those moments of wanting to do something that you really like?
Personally, I'm a huge fan of groove music. I like groove and funk, in the vein of jazz, I suppose. The reason being, just sitting in the pocket with amazing musicians and a band is just a really fun time. It really speaks to me.
So it's interesting. I went on to YouTube because you sent me the video for All This Time, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But I went back to look at some of the ones in the past, and one of them, it's called Young and Restless, right? Was the name of the song?
Yeah.
And you look like you're like 12. and then Ain't No Sunshine, which you did this blues, jazz, reggae thing. And I think I was blown away not only with you, but you found these musicians to play with that are all kids that are killing it in all these genres. I think that's absolutely awesome.
Oh, that was actually at the time I had my manager, Robert Knight. He was assisting me in finding a young band. So it was, once again, I've been very fortunate that I had those players around me. They were actually the band I took to China, Japan with me. But they were from all over the place. One was from Portland, Oregon. The bass player was from California, and the guitar player was from Sudbury, actually, which is more than a few hours north of where I am.
That's amazing. And let's go back to, I was mentioning Young and Restless. So talk about you as a songwriter and as an artist. So you have a new song now, which is very, it's kind of very radio friendly, very almost poppy, would you say? And how have you grown as an artist and as a songwriter over the years? Because you're still only 20, right?
Of course, yeah. Yeah, I find my writing has really evolved, especially in the sense of, if you look back at my first and second album, my first album was recorded when I was 11, released when I was 12. And you can kind of hear the change in, not especially in my voice, but in the way the guitar and the music has come around together. First album was very, I don't want to say elementary, but it was written with the thoughts of, well, an 11 and 12-year-old would have. Once I got into my second album, you could hear it start to change. I learned more about music, more about guitar. It was right around the time I started studying classical and jazz. And I wasn't so stuck in the box of regimented, oh, everything has to go verse, chorus, bridge, end. And it really opened up my eyes to a lot of opportunities. And by the time I was recording my fourth and fifth album, that was when I was fully into a lot of jazz, a lot of different music. And it really took a different look on my rock playing. I no longer looked at it as a singular genre. And that was right around the time I started kind of creating my own genre, which I called Revolution Rock.
I was going to ask you about that Revolution Rock, right? So that's kind of where this, it was kind of a culmination of everything?
Very much so, yeah. Just because, especially the second album, I had a lot of different genres on it. I'd have one country-esque song. I'd have one that's definitely classical. A lot of them were hard rock. And actually, I have 4 albums released to date, but 7 albums recorded. The fifth album was the one that was never released. It was very, very widespread, we'll say. Is I had a lot of jazz stuff on it. I actually had a lot of metal on it at that time. I got into some other genres there, with prog rock as well. And it was a great learning experience for me. And writing, I think it matures as you go on, and it changes with your life experiences and everything great that comes along with it.
So do you find it difficult, like if people ask you, what genre are you? You just mentioned that you've got different types that are on an album. Do you find that that's a benefit, or do you think that sometimes you're kind of that, well, I don't know really to tell you what I am. I'm kind of a little bit of everything. Like, I'm sure you get that question a lot, right?
Most definitely. And it's become, I think it's a double-edged sword. It's a lot of benefits and disadvantages. The biggest benefit is that it allows me to stay true to my art. Being an artist that plays a lot of different genres, I never have to be confined to one category, which is very nice for me as a musician, as someone who loves creating and listening to music. The downsides would be marketing, because I go into, say, my label, and we're talking about our target audience and marketing strategies, where some genres would apply to, example, males ranged 30 to 60.
Right.
And my more pop stuff would be directed at a female audience aged 18 to 25. You know what I mean? A much more specific demographic. So that's the disadvantage for sure. But all in all, I'm happy with my choice to be a multi-genre artist. And I think Revolution Rock does a good job of expressing who I am musically.
Okay, so let's talk about this brand new single, All This Time. It's a great video as well. And maybe talk about the song itself and why you kind of maybe made... I take it you're going to take this to radio, I would assume. It's a great radio song. It's just, as soon as you hear it, it's like, holy shit, I could drive to that all day long.
It's definitely a driving song. So this was actually written at a time... before this, I had finished my sixth album. And it was very Americana blues rock, unreleased still, by the way, hopefully out in the near future. And it was very Americana blues rock alongside with some acoustic ballads. It wasn't as hard hitting in a driving way. It was funky, but not quite so powerful. So when I recorded with Dave Dunlop, we really sought after we wanted to write the kind of song that get in your car and drive to, and I'm really happy to hear you say that, actually.
And ironically, you're driving up in a car in the video, so...
Yes. I try to keep the consistent theme of having some kind of car in all my videos, be it in Young and Restless, it was a Ferrari in my video Alive, it was an AAR Cuda, and then in this one, it was my 2015 WRX STI.
All right, well, you are listening to the Music Inspired Media Podcast. I am your host, Shane Christopher Neal. All podcasts are available on iTunes as well as SoundCloud. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to interview some pretty awesome music people, such as Carrie Underwood drummer Garrett Goodwin, Jason Aldean drummer Rich Redman, just to name a few, as well as some high-class and high-profile music executives, managers, and industry insiders. Profiling indie artists, though, and helping indie bands reach their full potential is my main objective. And if you are an artist or you know of someone I should reach out to, please contact me, info@shaneceneal.com. That's info@shaneceneal.com. You can like my page on Facebook, please, Shane C. Neal Media Personality, and follow me on Instagram. Now, let's get back to today's interview. What was it like to tour in Japan and China?
Absolutely fantastic. It was the experience of a lifetime. Japan was much more laid back than China was, having less show dates. Had a fantastic time. I was lucky enough to have actually friends who were over there who took me in and showed me the city. It gave me a great chance to meet a lot of local musicians, see a lot of local bands. It was a really good time. The crowds were incredible. It was just a fantastic time. When we went to China, that's when things got a little bit crazy. I had 14 shows in 15 days, different city every night, and we got there by train.
Wow.
So I'd get in after gigs at about anywhere from 1 to, I'd say 3 in the morning, and then I'd have to wake up anywhere from 5 to 7. So some nights I only got a couple hours of sleep, and it was a little bit rough, and we had approximately, I'd say, 6 hours of travel time every day.
Now, were you doing your own kind of tour club shows, or were you on a bigger tour kind of supporting another act?
No, I was headlining China, so it was a variety of shows depending on the city. We were traveling far and wide. Sometimes, like I said, we have a 7-hour bullet train ride. So we played everything from venues of small coffee shops to clubs like the Mao and the Beijing Temple. And then we actually ended up playing shows that held up to 5,000 people at the stage that U2 would have played on.
Wow.
It's a very, very eye-opening experience being over. And I was super actually thankful to be able to play a lot of the different venues as well. It could be a great feel for the people and the crowds, and they were fantastic. And you go in, it was a big party all the time, which I loved. So everyone came, they enjoyed the music, they loved the shows. The bar owners were friendly. It was just a great time. All in all, I would recommend anybody to go over and tour there.
So if I'm a young artist and I'm listening to this and I think, you know, that would be kind of cool to go to Japan and China, but I can't even play Toronto. So how does one person like yourself make that happen? I mean, obviously with the support of a label, a manager, I'm sure, but maybe explain to that young artist who says, how in the world does this 20-year-old not only have multiple albums out, but how does he go play in China and Japan?
Of course. Well, actually, China and Japan was booked and arranged before I had the label on board. So I went through, it was at the SU, this great program in Canada here, and they put on this Japan mission, SEMA does. And I actually had friends go before, their band called Courage My Love, and they told me what a fantastic trip they had. So I went and I applied for this Japan mission, and I got it. So you go and you meet a bunch of record label heads and producers, and you get to play a show at the Duo. And around that, I had booked shows. So I contacted some venues. And then while I was over there, I had remembered I'd been in contact with someone who was bringing Chinese artists to Canada. So I gave him a ring and said, hey, have you ever thought about bringing Canadian artists to China? So that was when we booked the tour with a good booking agency over there. And what I would say is connections. Connections really is everything.
Right.
So it's important to be getting out there, going to shows, going to your local music meetings, checking on Facebook, seeing what's going around. And it's people are friendly. They want to help each other out.
How much How much work do you put into your career? And I don't mean writing songs, recording them and that, but all of the other things that you just mentioned, the social media, the making connections, I don't know, the LinkedIn, the going to workshops, like, is it a full-time job all day for you?
More than that, actually. If I were to work, I still don't work on it as much as I would like to, because at the end of the day, I am a musician and I need to play guitar at the end, take breaks. I try to be as organized in the office as I can, but there's only so much one can do. I'm very lucky to have a team around me now. But
right,
if I were to do everything I would like to get done, I would be working 16 hours a day in the office without issue, never running out of stuff to do.
So let's talk about Mascot Label Group. That's the label you're with right now?
Yes.
Now, how have they enhanced your career? And the reason I bring this up is that, and maybe you can testify to this, a lot of artists believe that a record label is going to make you a star, where today the record label needs you to kind of be a star before they pick you up. So things have really changed in this business. So what has been their impact on you as a musician?
Very much so. The label, their impact on me as a musician has been able to give me a little room to breathe, most definitely, in that with them taking care of a lot more of the business things, I can sit back a little bit more. I still like to be as involved as possible because I'm an entrepreneur at heart, so I still like to be there somewhat. But like I said, it's given me some time to be able to work on my albums, work on my recording, hence the reason I now have seven albums recorded. Whether or not labels will make you star, what they'll do for you, I would say it's not always the best option, especially with the young artists coming out, and there's a lot of unfortunate deals around, but if you can find the right people that want to back you, that want to support you, it can most definitely be beneficial. More so for me, I have a team around me of people that I can bounce my ideas off of, work with, and that can help me grow.
So you're happy with your label deal right now, would you say?
I would say, yep. Things have been, we had a bit of a delay on the single release, but we're trying to get a plan for another tour coming up, and things are turning around very nicely.
So you also have a manager, right? Robert Knight?
Two managers, actually, Robert Knight and Michelle Baker from 1-to-1 Management.
Okay, so real quick on this, but I don't know if everyone knows who Robert Knight is, but he's a pretty famous photographer in the world of music.
Oh, yeah.
he was the last photographer to ever take a photo of Stevie Ray Vaughan, and I think the first to ever take a photo of Jimi Hendrix. But speak about how you connected with him and kind of what he does for you as a manager.
Definitely. I met Robert actually through online. A photographer had sent him a photo of me. He was running something called the Bert Hoder Guitar, which is where he takes young guitar players from around the world, and he helps them out by getting them, you know, endorsements with, at the time, Fender, now Ernie Ball, and Guitar Center, and discounts at Guitar Center, just helping us along our path and giving us opportunities as they arise. So he contacted me and invited me to go down to LA and see him. And I was in Seattle at the time, so it wasn't that far of a flight. So I got on a flight, despite my worries of this weird old dude messaging me. And once I found out who it was, went down. He was one of the kindest people I've ever met in my life. And he's been absolutely fantastic. And shortly after, he offered to manage me. And things have been going fantastically. Robert's very much so a big picture manager. He takes care of, he organized a label deal for me. He's arranged tours. He's helped me get on. I'm also a session player by trade. So I was playing with Kai Stewart, opening for the Go-Go's. That's I don't know if you know the band, the Arrhythmics.
Oh, of course. I know the Arrhythmics.
Yeah, Dave was actually fantastic. I got a good chance to meet him and hang out with him when I was on tour. But so Robert takes care of a lot of the big picture things, booking tours, dealing with the label. He's like our middleman. And then definitely not to be forgotten, Michelle Baker is most definitely a day-to-day manager. She's the person I'm in frequent contact with, and again, another main contact to the label, and she's been helping us get the marketing campaigns up and running and everything we need to do for social media.
So you play all these different genres of music. You've got these albums out. You toured all over the world. You're managed by a celebrity. You have a record label. You've played North by Northeast, South by Southwest, Canadian Music Week, on and on. Are you successful, and what does success look like for you down the road? Because you've done more at 20 than most people would do in their entire music career.
Yeah, I would like to say that I'm successful in my own eyes because I get to do things I love every day. I wake up and I get to play guitar for a living. So to me, that is success. And with down the road, in the big picture, I would love to be playing stadiums. Going on touring is where my heart is at. Touring studio work. So I'd like to go on tour for 3 months and then be in the studio for a month and then repeat this process throughout my life. But the honest success, the only thing I've ever wanted to do since I was little, or since I started playing guitar, I suppose, is wake up every day and be able to play guitar for a living. So if I can do that for the rest of my life, I know I'll be happy. And that's really all that matters.
So if I said to you, choice one would be to continue to write your own music and tour under your name. Option number two is somebody says, hey, and I just use this as a general example, Florida Georgia Line is looking for a guitar player. Would you come on tour with us? What is more appealing to you?
That's a very difficult question. I would have to say playing my own stuff because obviously it's my labor of love. It's everything I put my heart and soul into. But on the same aspect, I spent the entirety of my young life training to do just that. My teacher was a session player. I was trained to be a session player. I read music. I very frequently get calls from other musicians in Toronto. Actually, this is what happened with Dave Stewart. I got a call saying, Lyric, I need you to learn 20 songs in 2 days. Be in LA, that's when a tour starts. And the next day I was on a plane going down for rehearsals. So what I would choose would be my own music, but I am in no way unhappy with playing other people's songs. I absolutely love it. It's equally as fun.
And finally, I guess one of my last questions is, how do you manage your expectations? Because again, you've done so many things, but do you ever get up those days where you just feel like, you know what? I'm really not getting anywhere. I'm not really doing anything
in a
forward mode. Because we all get like that. Let's face it, right? No matter how much we're doing that's right, we always seem to look at what we're not doing. So how do you manage your expectations at such a young age?
Of course, I would say just the big thing of trying to keep your head held high and look at the positive things. I'm very lucky to have a lot of great people in my life that are positive and happy. And oddly enough, most of my friends don't really know what's going on with my music career. They tend to be pretty uninvolved. Because at the end of the day, when things are getting a bit too crazy for me, I can fall back on the people that I trust. So
absolutely.
I would say, yes, those definitely happen. How I manage it is just keep moving on. I mean, and even though sometimes things aren't always going that great, last year I actually lost a tour. And so these things happen. So you just got to keep going. If you know it's what you want to do, if you know it's what you love, and you know it's your passion, there's always going to be a way to make it work. And I just keep remembering that.
Well, this is amazing because Candy Burns, a.k.a. Phoenix Camara, I think gave me your name, like I said, like at least 3 years ago. And I'm not mistaken, I think you were playing at Taps in Niagara Falls. I don't know. It was somewhere in Niagara.
Yep, it would have been Taps back then.
That I had seen you, and then we had chatted, and it's great to catch up with you again. A great song all this time. And you have a website. Why don't you plug that in your socials as well?
That I do. My website is lyricdubee.com, LYRICDUBEE. Instagram at lyricdubee, Facebook lyricdubee. Everything's lyricdubee. It's nice and easy.
You're amazing, man. Thank you so much.
Beautiful. Thank you much for your time, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Visit Shane on Facebook at Shane C. Neal Media Personality. On Instagram at ShaneCNeal.com.